Lag BaOmer celebrates the fact that Rabbi Akiva's students, who had suffered a terrible plague, stopped dying. And it celebrates the fact that one of Rabbi Akiva's greatest students, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, passed away, which sounds paradoxical, until we realize that it's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai who encapsulates everything that Lag BaOmer is really all about. There are various reasons offered for why we have such a great celebration and joy on Lag BaOmer Mehem, including Aleph, Talmid Rabbi Akiva Shemesim Pesach Vadatzeres Posku Milamus, that there was this plague killing Rabbi Akiva's students that stopped on Lag BaOmer and they did not pass away at that point. And Beisu Yom Hilula Yom Hashanah Listalkus of the Rashbi, and it's the Yoratzad of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Shetziva Lismech Yom Hilus, who before he passed away instructed his students that they should celebrate the anniversary of his passing. Seeing as everything in Torah is absolutely precise, we have no choice but to say there has to be a link, not only time wise but conceptually and content wise, between these two events. Besides the obvious, which is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was a student of Rabbi Akiva. In that case, with Tzarich Lavin, we need to understand Maya Shaychus. What is the connection between Me'uro Zeh She Talmid Rabbi Akiva Poskiv Milamos? The fact that on the one hand it's the date when Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying, Lehilula Derashbi, and on the other hand it's the Yortzeit, in other words, the time of the passing of one of his greatest students, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. In fact, on analysis, it would appear that Shnei Me'uroi Seleim Dova Bihifuchoi would actually seem to be self-contradictory celebrations or significant dates. Because Rav Shimon bar Yochai Hoyo Echa Mechamisha Satamid and Rabbi Akiva Shenoi Sru Chai Bechaim. Because Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is one of the five students of Rabbi Akiva who survived the plague that killed the other students, the Heimei Midu Torah, and they're the ones who re-established the whole Torah going forward. Ve'im kein, if that's the case, besimcha al kach she'tamid Rabbi Akiva poskul milamos, if we're going to celebrate that Lag BaOmer is when Rabbi Akiva's students stop dying, mudge she'Lag BaOmer hu yom she'bo Rashbi u'shar hatamidim ha'achrenim Rabbi Akiva noisru b'chayim, then naturally we're celebrating the fact that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his colleagues remained alive. Now, that's a celebration of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai being alive. Surely that's hefachin and ha'istalkos de Rashbi. Isn't that the exact opposite of celebrating his yortzeit? So how do we reconcile the two? Well, we reconcile it by knowing a principle the Alter Rebbe teaches us, v'shlema abir bo, the explanation is, b'yom yistalkos ha-tzadik, on the day of the passing of a tzadik, mitztorfim yach kol ma'isev ha-sirosev ha-vidos ha-shovel kol yimei chayev, all of the Torah learning and all of the investment of avoda in serving the Eibishter that tzadik did, all consolidates on the day that he passes. And as the Alter Rebbe tells us, that is the true life of what a tzaddik is really about, is their Torah and their avoda, not just the fact that they are physically present. Therefore, v'hainu, on the day that a tzaddik passes from this world, that's when the tzaddik reaches the climax of everything that they represent. And that is now revealed to the world. So what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai represents is exposed to the world on Lag BaOmer. So what does he represent? The fact that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was not impacted by the plague that ravaged the other students of Rabbi Akiva indicates that the way that he served Hashem was different and probably even the opposite of what the other 24,000 students did. Because the way that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai conducted himself is a contributor to the fact that people stopped dying at that point. That's why his Yortzeit, the day that shows the world, exhibits what he represents, falls out on the same day that the other students stopped dying, because who Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is captures what helps those students to avoid or evade the plague. But we still need to understand that, because we need to understand out of the five students of Rabbi Akiva who survived this terrible plague, it's Dafka Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that Hoisei Stalkusa b'Lag BaOmer, whose Yortzeit is on Lag BaOmer. Yosem Yishar Abbas HaTalmidim. So that indicates that there's a link between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and the cessation of the plague on Lag BaOmer more than the other four colleagues. And the question then is, V'amen ishtane Rashbi ben Yezeh Mishar Abbas Talmid Rabbi Akiva, in what way was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai exceptional? In what way is his avoda different, not only from the colleagues who suffered the plague, but even from the colleagues who survived the plague? So to get to that point, let's understand first, what was the breakdown between the students of Rabbi Akiva? Shlema bozeh, behektem abir b'may mechazal. First, we have to analyze what the sages tell us. The reason why Rabbi Kiva's students passed away in such a terrible fashion in such a short time is because they did not conduct themselves with true respect for each other, which is very strange. Rabbi Kiva is the one who told us that when the Torah says, love your fellow like your fellow Jew, like yourself, that is a cardinal principle of Judaism. So how then is it possible that those people who the Torah identifies as the truly dedicated students of Rabbi Akiva will be disrespectful to each other? Surely they were the people, if anybody, who had completely onboarded the principle that you love your fellow Jew like yourself. So the explanation, as the Rebbe explains in greater detail in a different sicha, is that kol echam tamidiv Rebbe Akiva hoysel derech mishaloi ba'avonas teres rabbi. Each one of the students of Rebbe Akiva had their particular nuance of the understanding of what Rebbe Akiva was teaching them. And based on that nuance that they extracted from Rebbe Akiva's teaching, that shaped their specific personal way to serve Hashem. So for example, one focused primarily on to serve Hashem with love. And the other person focused, for example, on serving Hashem out of a sense of awe, and so to 24,000 times over. And each one of them was so filled with his particular approach, to the extent that it was absolutely clear in their minds, that if another student of Rabbi Akiva is not serving the Eibishter in this particular way, yesh chesaron b'shleimo, so that person is lacking in their full dedication to Hashem. Oviyosam tamidei Rabbi Akiva, and because they were students of Rabbi Akiva, who taught them what? Sheidgesh v'ifli malisin v'after derecho komoicho, who taught them to love the next person. So they could never be satisfied with their own personal development and growth. They then reached out to try and influence every other student of Rabbi Akiva to adopt their way of serving Hashem, which they understood to be the ultimate way to serve Hashem. And when the other students, their colleagues, didn't want to adopt their particular approach because they were absolutely convinced that their version of understanding Rabbi Akiva's approach was actually the correct one. Not only should I not adopt your approach, but you should adopt my approach. And they couldn't get through to each other. The reason it couldn't get through is because each one was so set in their particular way to serve Hashem. They could not show absolute respect to each other, because they were sincere people, not the kind of individual who would say things to placate the other person when they really didn't feel that way about them. And therefore, as long as they believed that the other person wasn't yet mastering what Rabbi Akiva had to teach, they could not show them some kind of superficial false respect. Because they were absolutely convinced that that person is completely lacking in how they're serving Hashem, how could we then give them a false sense of respect? So that's what they're getting wrong, so to speak. They're so focused on their version of understanding what Rabbi Akiva has to say that they can't accommodate the possibility that somebody else has a different valid approach. So because these are the students of Rabbi Akiva, not only did they learn the dictum of after the Rechol Komoicha, they modeled themselves after the persona and the role model of Rabbi Akiva, which was, move on, this particular approach that the students took, where each one was so completely immersed in their approach to understanding Rabbi Akiva's teachings and applying it in their avoida, and therefore it is out of the question in their minds that there's an alternative valid approach. What drove that in them? That was something that they rooted, that behavior was rooted in the behavior of Rabbi Akiva. In other words, they emulated something about Rabbi Akiva that, in this case, translated unfortunately. So let's understand this. What is Rabbi Akiva's unique mode of service of Hashem? So we know that Rabbi Akiva hoya kol yomov bitnuah shel mesiras nefesh uvitshukol hazeh. We know that Rabbi Akiva's entire life was focused on sacrifice for the Eibishter and the yearning to be able to sacrifice everything from the Eibishter. Kedisa b'gemara shel Rabbi Akiva the Talmidav, like the Gemara Brachos tells us that Rabbi Akiva told his students at the time that he was being brutally murdered by the Romans. He says, kol yomai yoyisi mitzta'er. My whole life I was worried, what if I don't get to fulfill uvachol nafshecho? When will the opportunity to sacrifice my life for Hashem present itself? And here it is. So his whole life was looking forward, aspiring to the opportunity to die for Hashem. Now, the concept of sacrificing for the Eibishter is not a detail of a person's service of Hashem or details of a person's character. It is completely enveloping. It overwhelms all elements of the person. Because when a person is in that state of readiness to sacrifice everything for Hashem, there's no particle within the human that is not imbued with the sense of willingness to dedicate themselves to Hashem. So it is all-consuming. And the students of Rabbi Akiva who lived with Rabbi Akiva, who's absolutely taken with his dedication for sacrifice to Hashem, they also took some of that on board. They also absorbed from Rabbi Akiva this yearning to be able to sacrifice everything for Hashem. And therefore, whatever aspect of serving Hashem they were involved in, they threw themselves completely into it with absolute sacrifice. So whatever it is that they're serving the Eibishter in right now, they are completely invested into it with a single-minded focus. And they were so invested in what they were serving, how they were serving the Eibishter, with every element of their emotions, every element of themselves, that there's no possibility of an alternative. And that's why, who are you and where do you come from? Why do you serve the Eibishter differently? This is the way to do it. So despite the fact that this illustrates the students of Rabbi Akiva were operating at an extremely high level of dedication to Hashem, it was flawed. It wasn't completely aligned with what the Eibishter's intention is. To understand what that means, let's understand the spiritual technology of Mesiras Nefesh, where it benefits and where it could be flawed. The concept of Mesiras Nefesh, that is what propels a person to have Ratzoi, which is a reaching beyond themselves in order to connect to Hashem, even at the expense of their own lives. Ratzon Lotzeis Meha'olam, it's a willingness to leave this world, and to be completely connected to the Eibishter to the extent that we lose ourselves completely. Klois HaNefesh, the Neshama flies out of the body to connect to the Eibishter. Now, the fact is, people who live with that aspiration are extremely elevated people. They're going to serve the Eibishter with absolute sacrifice. Wonderful and beautiful as that is, and it truly is, it doesn't satisfy what the Eibishter's ultimate purpose and intention for the world is. The Eibishter's intention is that there should be this Mesiras Nefesh, there should be this yearning to escape ourselves and connect to the Eibishter, but it should produce Yumshach, it should then be translated into should be translated into a sense of grounding ourselves, of a return to this world, and that's actually what it should precipitate. Our great excitement to connect to the Eibishter should then motivate us to be in this world, because that's where he wants us. So we can draw godliness back into this world, not just save ourselves and fly out of this world. And the only way that we can introduce godliness into this world is to follow a specific set of protocols which are set up by the Torah, which are actually quite rational. And that actually gives us a deeper insight into how the Chachamim describe what happened to these students of Rabbi Akiva. Not just for Kulon Mesu that they all passed away, which we all know, but there's another part that the Chachamim tell us that most people forget about, and that is, they didn't show each other respect, which caused the world to be desolate. What does that mean? Because these students of Rabbi Akiva were completely invested in the Ratzoi, upward yearning, looking to escape everything that this world has to offer in order to cleave to Hashem, They left the world desolate. They weren't investing in the world. They weren't drawing godliness into the world. There was no possibility of creating a home for the Eibishter, a place where Adam Ha'elin, where the supernal God is able to manifest. But instead they were creating a spiritual version of a desert. Because they were not bringing godliness down where it belongs in this world. Now that we understand where they were misguided, complete spiritual rapture without the translation of making the world holy, that helps us to appreciate what the greatness was of the five surviving students who did in fact create a sustainable Torah. How so? By having shoiv, by knowing how to translate their great aspiration into reality in this world. Because there's no question that these five students, seeing as they were Rabbi Akiva's students, were completely imbued with absolute dedication to Hashem to the point of sacrifice. But unlike the other students, they mastered the concept of Mesiras Nefesh properly, as Rabbi Akiva had, and we can prove it. As we well know, the famous story of Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues who wanted to enter paradise, which is this elevated spiritual awareness and cleaving to Hashem. And Rabbi Akiva is the only one who came out of that, hale and healthy and able to continue to invest greater godliness into this world, because Nichnas B'Shalom, he approached the process with a sense of shalom, with an understanding that you cannot be an extremist and you have to translate your rotzoy into shoiv. You have to translate your aspirations into practical application. And therefore, he came out healthy. So Rabbi Akiva is the ultimate indicator, the ultimate model of how you're supposed to do Mesiras Nefesh. That you don't fly away in some Mesiras Nefesh dream state. He approached Mesiras Nefesh with a consciousness of shalom, that we have to create harmony between our aspirations and the reality in which we live. He enters the experience knowing that the purpose of this experience is what you bring back into your reality. It's exactly that drive that Rabbi Akiva has to be able to connect to the Eibishter in a way of kolos nefesh, releasing the neshama, no limitations. That itself is what motivated him in the most incredible way, in the most whole way, to do what needed to be done in terms of avoda here on earth. So the students who survived obviously mastered that. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai more so than all of them, as we shall see. But before we get there, let's just look at how this is reflected in the date. That's alluded to. How come it is that Lag BaOmer is the 18th of year? Why the 18th? Well, we'll learn from another famous 18th. We know our Rebbeim say about Chayelul, Shazeo Hayom, Shenoisin Chayis Ba'avoida Shel Elul. Chayelul is the day that injects energy into the whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing during Elul. So we could apply the same logic here. Shechai Ir, like Boimer, which is the 18th of year, it enlivens and infuses what it is that we're supposed to be doing during the month of Ir. What are we supposed to be doing during Ir? And how does it link to this message of the five surviving students, or Rabbi Akiva's ultimate model, or what a Jewish person is supposed to be doing? The explanation is, we know that the 2 months, the consecutive months of Nisan and Iyar, we know that Nisan is the month which corresponds to the energy of Chesed, whereas Iyar, which is the second month on our calendar, is the month that represents Gevurah. What does that mean? That is one of the links between why it is that the period of the passing of Rabbi Akiva's students is primarily in the month of Iyar. Because Iyar is the energy of Gvura. One of the key aspects of Gvura is that Ratzoy, that yearning to say, I need to have the power and the strength to emerge beyond myself, to reach beyond myself. And even at the expense to myself, you have to have Gvura, you have to have strength in order to be able to do that. You have to have that focus, that discipline of Gvura. So therefore, their avoid of wanting to have Mesiras Nefesh at all costs is very much an ear energy. Azai boyim lak boyim even isn khais ba vidazai. Then you get lak boyimer, which injects the real energy and lifeblood into the avoid of el, which is shaharot ba lo lo you boy fana maybe la mosa ulai lam sham. Yes, of course you should have that motivation. Yes, of course you should reach out to yearn beyond yourself like the fire of gevura that wants to escape the wick. But the goal is not to escape. The goal is not to die. The goal is not to leave a desolate world. So that is ultimately supposed to translate into shoiv, how you bring this energy back into our world. Like Rabbi Akiva's model, where you enter the world in a state of peace, and therefore the higher spiritual world's in a state of peace with consciousness of what it has to bring back into this world, and therefore you actually bring it back into this world. And the person who models this balance, this stepping up to the highest level of Mesiras Nefesh and then bringing it right back down into making a difference in this world, is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. This mode of serving the Eibishter is something that we see very clearly in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's service of the Eibishter. Because for the 13 years that Rabbi Akiva was running from the Romans and therefore was squirreled away in a cave, he was completely isolated from the world. And that's why he was incapable of fulfilling many, many practical mitzvahs. Because he just, Pasha didn't have the resources. And therefore, the way that he fulfilled those mitzvahs was in a completely spiritual way. And in order to achieve that spirituality, he needed to be able to have that rotza, that aspiration to escape the physical, the present, his circumstances, the limitations of not having matzah for Pesach or whatever it was, and to instead experience everything in their completely disembodied spiritual state. Rotza to the extreme. The kind of rotza that the average person will never experience. But the outcome of that rotzei was that when he eventually left the cave, he didn't go become a hermit, completely cut off from the world, living in spiritual euphoria. To the contrary, the Gemara tells us Rabbi Elazar would look around, he was critical of people's investment in physical pursuits, and he would actually cause them harm. So wherever he caused harm, it was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai who had had the highest level of Ratzoi who was able to heal that harm. He was able to satisfy people living in this world with their physical pursuits and not being destroyed. He brought healing to the world. Not only did he bring healing to the world when there was a crisis, but he asked around, is there anything that needs to be assisted? Is there anything that needs to be fixed? In other words, his approach and attitude was, how do we make the world a better place? How do we translate all of this ratzoi into shoiv? Because we're dealing over here with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, where he said, my character is just a portion of the character of Rabbi Akiva. So in other words, he's modeled after Rabbi Akiva. Is the person who's living Rabbi Akiva's principles and mode of service of Hashem to the ultimate. The person who not only is able to comfortably enter the world of disembodied spirituality, but is able to just as comfortably bring it back home. Therefore, he goes into the cave, which is a completely rotzoi type of an experience, leave the world, escape the world, focus completely on holiness, and what's the direct result? Shoiv, bringing whatever he had gained and sharing it with the world, tikkun v'yishuv ha'olam, in order to be able to fix the world and to literally inhabit the world. We see this also reflected in his mode of learning, because before he went into the cave, the Gemara tells us, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was one who had questions, serious questions about his learning, that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor had to answer, and each time become a Teresa Piruke with 12 different angles and approaches and answers. Whereas after he emerged from the cave, then Makshe Pinchas ben Yor, then it was Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor, his previous teacher, who now had all the questions. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was one providing the answers, the resolution, the understanding of how to integrate Torah into this world. And how much? 24 different angles and approaches and answers to every one of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyi's questions. Kiflaim letushia, a double portion, which of course creates a whole lot of insight, a whole lot of satisfaction, a whole lot of clarity, a whole lot of salvation. And so the message is very clear, obviously, for us that while we should have, and it's really important to have very intense spiritual aspirations, we also need to know how to bring them back down into this world, because ultimately the goal is that the Eibushah should be completely manifest in this world, and that will be achieved through our efforts. And mitzvah, we should see those efforts come to fruition with the Dira B'Tachtonim exposed, with the Eibushah revealed to all of us at the coming of Mashiach now.